Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This week on Pop Gaze,
we are joined by special guests Lou Wall and B. Barbara Skirla.
Hi, I'm Lou.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm B.
And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
Hello, my friends. How are you going?
I'm good. How are you?
Both Jordan and Aurelia are off.
Dead.
Yeah, they are dead.
Rest
we
in peace.
Them. Yeah.
They have been usurped.
It needed a shake up.
Basically, Aurelia is off in Vegas getting engaged and doing the most incredible shoots. Have you been seeing these shoots?
Yeah, absolutely.
I just look through Instagram and I'm like, damn, I wish that were me.
Yeah. And Jordan is being a stage and television star.
Okay,
so
go off star. Again.
We are joined by amazing comedians Lou Wall and B. Barbara Skirla. How you guys going?
It's good to be in Melbourne.
I thought B lived in Melbourne. B lives in Sydney. I thought you lived in Melbourne because I've seen you down here so much that I just naturally assume.
I just love to do it because it gives people only 1 week to hang out with me.
And you end up seeing people a lot more when there's like a short allotment of time.
Yeah, because also you can just be like, either you see me this week or never again, and then you're back within 3 months.
It's a threat. Yeah. It's a threat when you're down for holiday.
I have seen you more regularly than a lot of Melbourne friends, some that live like around the corner.
Totally. It's the best thing. It's the best thing. And like, yeah, I don't have to be like, oh my God, Charlie doesn't want to see me this week, because it's like, guess what? We're in different states. We can't see each other.
And how are you liking being in Melbourne this week?
I love it. Every time I am in Melbourne, a stranger asks me what my tattoo means. Okay?
And which tattoo?
That any of my tattoos, okay? Like the other time I was in Melbourne.
Do you think that maybe collectively Melbourne's just like flirting with you?
Yes, literally. I was talking to my friend Josh
the
about this.
Thing.
It's like I land, I get off the sky bus and everyone is making eye contact with me. And
I'm like,
everyone wants to fuck me in Melbourne.
I think it's true. I think we know. I think we see someone from Sydney and we're like, they look like they've had enough vitamin D. Let's get them.
But absolutely. It's also this thing in Sydney, like you don't make eye contact with people on public transport. You mind your own business, but people on public transport looking me up and down.
Because you're wearing colour.
Checking me out.
Little pop of green.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Bit of pastel.
Melbourne's like yummy.
Yeah. It's such a horny city. I don't know.
See, I feel a little bit similarly. I feel very hot when I go to Sydney.
Okay.
Like I was there
it's
just
like
a couple
out
weeks
of town
ago.
Of us.
Yeah. I was like, I'm an independent woman. Like here I am.
I feel when I go to Sydney, I feel like an emo lesbian goth child. Yeah. I'm like, I'm wearing my black hoodie and I'm like, I do not fit in.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate this.
Gollum.
Like truly Gollum. Like I feel like I've crawled out of a cave and I'm like, hello.
Well, you're coming to Sydney soon, aren't you?
I am. And I'm actually moving to Sydney next year.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Really? Only for a little bit. Okay. Only for like 6 months, but
okay,
I'm ready.
On a project?
I'm ready on a project.
Oh, can you talk about it or it's under wraps?
It's probably under wraps. I don't know.
But that's still exciting. It's a little tease and you can hang out with me and we'll, you know, turn you into a beautiful goth butterfly.
Thank you.
So you're no longer
I'm ready for
a goth
color.
Child.
Yeah, I'm ready for the beach. I'm ready for the sun.
Exactly.
That's amazing. We were just talking about moving between Melbourne and Sydney and how, like, no matter if it's a Sydney-based person and they're like, I'm thinking of moving to Melbourne, I'm like, do it.
Do it.
Absolutely do it. 100%. And if it's a Melbourne person, I'm like, do it.
Get out of here.
Run.
Yeah. Discomfort is key. You gotta shake it up.
Yeah, yeah, and it's that thing that you were saying. It's like the grass is always greener. You know, every time I'm in Melbourne, I'm like, why is my mental health so good? And it's like, bitch, you're literally on holiday. Yes. That's why. Like, it's not the city. Totally. You just don't have that many responsibilities.
Question for you, where does your comedy pop off?
Melbourne, definitely. You know, I do my set in Sydney and they're like, yeah, cool. And then I'm in Melbourne and I'm like, I'm mentally ill. And everyone's fuck yes. Whoa.
True.
It's crazy.
And about 20 minutes of Lexapro that it's going to flop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that's very sad. Yeah. That's very, very sad.
Yeah.
They need help.
Yeah. I've been recently doing this joke about like how I used to cosplay when I was a teenager. But like in Melbourne, even bringing up the fact that I used to cosplay gets a laugh. And I'm like,
yeah,
now that's the vibe that
that's
I want.
That's the laugh of knowing. That's the laugh of being there.
It's people being like, I was there.
Literally.
I feel like Melbourne crowds are definitely more into things from the get-go because there's so much more comedy around. So people are more familiar with how a night runs. How was Darwin?
Oh, my God.
It looks so much fun.
I am truly that cunt who this whole week, I got back from Darwin maybe like 4 days ago. And every single day this week, I've told someone new, like, oh my God, have you been to Darwin? You have to go to Darwin.
Yes. I've never been. God, yeah.
It's so good. I haven't done that much traveling, but like the locals, so friendly. Like I would walk down the street, people would be like, hey sister, you're tall, aren't you? And I'd be like, yeah.
You're like, damn right.
So friendly. Like the food, phenomenal. Like heaps of like amazing, amazing Indonesian food.
Wow.
Amazing luxes. Weather, just like perfect. And I just had the time of my life.
Is Scout there at the moment?
Scout? Yeah.
Yeah, because they posted a beautiful photo of beach.
The sunset.
The sunset beach. And
however,
I was like, oh my God.
The thing is, you cannot swim at the beaches, which I didn't realize. I thought it was just a joke. But yeah, because of crocodiles. Like, wow. I went to this watering hole and it was like beautiful, idyllic, like bright crystal blue. And there was this sign that was like low chance of crocs. I was like, low chance, low chance.
I need no chance.
Yeah. Chance. Yeah.
And even then, maybe that's like a Darwin low. But that's probably a Melbourne like hazard level. Yeah. Like
evacuate.
Minus
100%.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. Like I'm currently being digested by a croc level. That's low.
I went on this ethically dubious croc tour. Like I saw like the ones that you like pay a lot for and like sit in this beautiful air conditioned boat. And then I saw one that was like super cheap, tinny. And I was like, let's go. And it was.
That's authentic experience.
Fully.
There.
Like there was this like tour guide holding like a full raw chicken out the side of the boat. Just being like, keep your hands in.
Oh my God.
Like, it was so good.
That's
like,
amazing.
I'd be terrified, but like.
It was actually quite scary, but it was fun.
How did they like your comedy? Did you feel like it was a different energy to other audiences?
It was definitely a different energy, but I come from the country. Like I come from deep bush and it just felt like performing in my hometown. Like
okay, cool.
I thought Darwin would be a big city, but it's absolutely small country town.
Yeah.
So I was just like, g'day motherfuckers, let's go.
Yeah.
Which I really love.
I noticed that, I mean, not on the same level, but even when I was in Brisbane for the Brisbane Comedy Festival, just because it's a smaller festival, I felt like the people that came to my show were really like, they really wanted to be there. And it wasn't like incidental like you might have in Melbourne or Sydney where it's just kind of like, oh, I just took a punt on a random show. Like I had a girl come up to me after a show in Brisbane and she was like, hi, I'm actually here with my mum. We came from like rural, like Queensland, just to see this show.
That's because so cute.
That's amazing.
We wanted to find like a show about like LGBTQ and like it meant a lot to me. And I was like, oh my God, not like me feeling like a fucking celebrity.
Yes! I'm
like,
you are a celebrity.
Yeah.
But just that feel like it really like I was like, this has never happened to me in Melbourne.
Yeah, yeah.
Truly.
Well, even like the first time I did comedy in Melbourne was like in 2019. And I remember just like two girls with like dyed hair, obviously same kind of mental illnesses that I have. And they came up to me and they were like, it's so cool to see someone like speak my mind. And I'm like, I am so sorry that I'm speaking your mind.
I know. You forget when people like relate to something that I'm like, that's the like dingy part of my personality.
Yeah,
why are you relating to that?
Literally my character on stage is like, if I just gave in to every psycho
dark impulse.
Yeah.
Trauma bonding, baby. Trauma bonding.
Exactly.
That is amazing. Speaking of trauma, there is so much shit we've got to talk about this week. You might have seen a couple of weeks ago, but did you hear about how Ivana Trump died?
Yeah.
And
mysteriously,
Trump,
right?
I didn't know about that part of it.
Is that the right person? I'm thinking about it.
This is not Melania, though. Melania did not die.
Oh, yeah. No, not the current wife.
I think it's the first
one. Not previous. FLOTUS. Melania.
FLOTUS. Ex-flutist is intact.
Interior designer.
Ivana. So not his daughter. His ex-
yeah, his ex-wife, Ivana. She died. I'm not sure, but Trump buried her on his golf course.
Oh my God.
For tax write-off reasons.
Oh my God.
And
under hole 18,
the picture of the grave is the most bleak thing you've ever seen. It's literally just like dirt in the ground with a couple of rocks thrown on top of it.
Why did he get to bury her? Why?
I don't know. He probably like contractually owns her.
That is so cursed.
Well, this is the thing, right? It's like, because I remember seeing this because I had just watched the Staircase limited series. Yep. And yeah, she had apparently fallen and was found at the bottom of her home's stairs. But she was an elderly woman. But yeah, I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah. But could it be a more dystopian,
like the unceremonious golf course is just death? Like, I could not think of a worse place to be buried.
Where
like,
people are
throw
literally
me into riding an,
buggies
like an oil
over
pit.
Your grave yeah. every day.
Throw me into Adani before I get married into, yeah. like, bury me in Adani. Like, yeah.
I really want to be cremated. And I want to be, like, maybe, like, turned into, like, a jewel or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah, I really, there's this thing called a bio urn. That you can get
it's
cremated.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay. I hate it already.
I know, guys. I'm a Melbourne rising, Sydney sun, you know, backwater so moon.
A bio urn.
Yeah. So what it is, it's basically your ashes get mixed in with like dirt and like seeds, and then you can actually be planted into a tree.
Oh, okay.
That's actually cool. really beautiful.
Yeah. It's actually Slay Queen, you know?
I like that. It is house down boots, mama, mm-hmm. and cunt.
Exactly. Yeah. Serving cunt afterlife.
Yeah. I think I want ashes, but like to be sprinkled like in a theatrical production. Oh, like yes. confetti.
I always think
the poor
of that.
Usher.
Yeah. I always think about that.
You're the like
Big
stage
Lebowski
smoke
scene.
And like
through
the
hazel.
Cursed child or something yes. like that.
I want to be buried in the floorboards of a theater yes. and haunt the stage.
Yeah. Let people stand on my body forever. Well, I mean, that's the future of Ivana Trump on a golf course. So we
that's
can only
haunted.
Dream.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's deeply unsettling. I also saw, Lou, I'm sure you've got a lot to talk about with this, but Shane fucking Crawford. And I literally had to Google that name because I was like, I know he's some sporting person and I'm
yeah,
going to call
like,
him the wrong
I
name.
I have no idea who this is.
But he has been cast as...
The Pharaoh.
As the Pharaoh in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Oh, mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of theatre gays reposting that. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And friend of the pod, Sam Andrew, was friend on the project pod. Last night talking
oh,
about
yes.
this.
Yes.
Melbourne composer and...
Comedian extraordinaire.
And all-round good mate.
TikTok famous vibes.
Yeah, she's blown up.
Yeah, it's wild. Real.
And but well deserved because that content is fire.
It's good. Yeah.
It's
funny.
So good.
And she's rightfully calling out how fucked it is that, you know, Australian main stage theatres, you know, and a show like Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, like what, I don't know what theatre it's at. It's probably.
Yeah, one of the big
one of the big productions, you know, just mega money kind of vehicle. They've cast instead of any kind of up and coming or classically trained former in Australia, they've just got this fucking.
Is
he a cricketer? What does he do?
I think he's got a photo holding a what are they, rugby balls?
Yeah,
I don't
AFL.
Know what you call them.
Yeah.
But the thing
I'm staring at our producer Matt just for some kind of straight insight.
It's like, please help, yeah. we're useless.
But the thing on top of that, I don't know Shane Crawford. I am assuming he is white. He's at least white presenting. The Pharaoh is absolutely an Egyptian Pharaoh.
God, I didn't even think of that.
So, and there's
that was the first
no
thing
African
I thought
or
of.
Arab or Egyptian representation, not even a skerrick. And he's there just like with his bloody rugby ball.
Have they responded? Like, has the production come back and said anything about it?
I don't think so. Not that I've heard. I don't think they will either. I think the thing we forget is like we can have all this outrage, but he will sell tickets.
Yeah,
no
doubt. That's like, the thing. And I think that's just like not just in the theater world, but like in any like the media stuff. It's like stunt casting or whatever, because it's like, oh, this person will sell tickets. It's kind of like that whole like funny girl drama.
Oh,
yeah.
So hilarious.
Yeah. So it's like
juicy. Here's controversially, I don't mind so much about the stunt casting.
Mm.
Like, I think there is like problems with like them. I would prefer them cast an Australian footballer than bring in someone from the States.
Yeah. Oh,
because definitely. I think when they do that, it's like such a punch in the guts being like, you guys are not good enough to do it.
Yeah, we had to look outside.
Literally. Yeah. Whereas a stunt casting, I'm like, it's obviously to get the media articles. It's obviously to bring in attention. And while I'm like, the arts had such a rough time during COVID and AFL kind of just skirted by.
Yeah, totally.
And I do think like it's unfair. I'm also just like, it might extend the production for a month because he has a big pool.
Yeah. And then it's like how many people who are involved in the production will actually like keep their jobs and stuff like that. And yeah, it's like, I get it, but it's also like, come on.
But the casting of a non-PRC person in a clearly PRC role is absolutely cursed.
Yeah. And I'm not super familiar with the show. I'm a real Andrew Lloyd Webber, like anti, what's the word for like an anti stan? You know, like a someone who
you'd like despise. He's like your arch nemesis.
Yeah. I have like a blood pact to murder Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Mr. Lloyd Webber.
Yeah, so I'm not a fan of the show itself. So I didn't even realize that there was like that the role was for a POC. I'm like, that's.
I also do not know the show. I just assume.
Maybe like that it's just all white people, you know, playing.
Don't let me look into it. Because there was also another casting announcement that actually came out the same day of Mousetrap, which is a very famous British Agatha Christie play. And they just came out with an all white cast. And it's like.
Yeah,
it's just pure blatant racism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they really said like, we're blind casting. That's why we've cast all white people. It's like, no, you cannot cast all white people.
It's also crazy because it's like, we've had stuff, you know, recently stuff like Hamilton. It's like, there's no,
they just closed their eyes for the last 2 years. And
there's no shortage of like talented people. Yeah. Like no matter what background, but they're just like,
there are so many cricketers that
there
we can.
So many AFL players. Cast the ball.
Yeah.
Put in the goalpost.
You know, they've got so much to offer.
I would love the twist where a really well-known like theatre person gets put into the like AFL draft.
Lucy Jurat, come through. Sammy said that actually.
Oh my god! Yeah, she did. I speaking of Lucy Jurak, at my unnamed place of work during lockdown, we were doing like online orders mostly, and we got an order for Lucy Jurak.
Oh my gosh!
We didn't have one of the items that Lucy had ordered, so someone had to call to ask like, "Can we give an alternative?" And I was like, "I will do it." And everyone was like, "Yeah, that's fine," because no one else knew this name. Yeah. I was like, it's Lucy Jurak. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, Australian stage star, Lucy Jurak.
I honestly don't know. I'm very I'm disconnected from the.
She's she was our Glinda. Okay. She was our Elle Woods.
I think her best role that she's ever done is Fiona in the most recent production of Shrek the Musical.
Oh my God. Wow. I fucking love Shrek the Musical. It goes off.
It slaps.
Yeah.
I think I must have seen her at Legally Blonde maybe.
Probably.
Yeah, I've probably seen her. But I'm also just bad with names. I'm like the worst person for a pop culture podcast because I'm like, who?
You're also very cool. Like saying you don't know Lucy Jurak is a flex, I reckon.
I literally just said that I cosplayed in high school and you're like, you're literally so cool.
I don't know.
And
the I'm like, Sydney vibes.
No.
Yeah, maybe like Sydney cosplay is like, profesh.
We do love
it. I was 14 hanging out with 23-year-olds. That's not cool.
See, that is cool. Yeah. I think that's cool.
Not if you're 23.
You can't prove to me.
You know, it's been lovely being in Melbourne, just like hanging out with people all the time. And I met up with my friend who I will keep anonymous. He was telling me this crazy story about a hookup that I must tell you guys.
Oh my God. That's good. Give it to us.
I love other people's gossip.
Yeah. Basically, I was kind of just talking about how I'm really trying to like write this joke at the moment that's basically about like online dating and how like a lot of the conversations I have with my gay male friends is they act like no one has been ever murdered by a stranger on the internet. Because it's true. Like I have a friend who literally met up with a guy next to an abandoned 7-Eleven.
Why are you looking at me when you said that?
Well, I'm just saying, I'm like, have you been there?
Yeah. That is how I met my partner.
Yeah.
How bad does the 7-Eleven have to be abandoned as well?
exactly. And so like, it's just these crazy stories. And so my friend that I was meeting up with today was telling me that he went home with this guy and he woke up in the morning and he realized that his clothes were wet. And he was just like, what's going on? And
like,
the guy's
like in the bed.
Like he's slept naked and his clothes that he's taken off.
His clothes that he's taken off are wet. And he's like, what's going on here? And the guy's like, I washed your clothes at night, but I forgot to put them in the dryer.
Oh my God.
What? And I was like, instantly, I'm like, what in babe, the if that was me, state? I'm like calling my sister, walking out nude on the street, being like, bring me a dress ASAP. Like, that's
serial crazy, killer.
Crazy, right? Weird. And then, so.
It's like John Wayne Gacy, like, shit.
And I my jaw dropped. I was like, this can't be real. And he was like, no, it gets worse. And I was like, what are you talking about?
Get into Ivan Milat's front seat than have someone wash
your clothes at a hookup.
Did he stink? Like, what's the.
No, yeah. I don't know. I think I was like, they were just washing the clothes. And I was like, interesting. And then, yeah, apparently this guy, he's like, oh, I'll put them in the dryer. And he like leaves, and it's like a shared dryer thing for the apartment block. Oh, so he has to wait for one of the dryers.
Not the communal laundry.
Some queer share house monstrosity.
He has to wait for the other dryers to stop. Oh my God. So my
friends
have
to take a vote of the housemates, like, when can we use the dryer?
When can we use it? And like, yeah, so my friend's just like kind of like, you know, kind of sitting around just waiting for his clothes to be dry. And then the guy's like, oh, are you hungry? And my friend's like, oh, yeah, like, you know, might as well. I'm waiting for my clothes to dry, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, well, I've got some soup. And this is like 10 a.m. in the morning. And I'm just like.
And he's still naked.
And it's like soup. And I'm just like, this is, I say to my friend, I'm like, that's crazy. Like,
that's
soup,
Melbourne, actually.
10
a.m.? That's what we do here.
Like, what, soup first typical, thing in the morning?
Typical Friday.
Post hookup soup? Like, what? Like,
that's so odd.
Yeah.
And oh, my God. It's like, it feels like this guy.
What did he do?
Yeah. How did it end?
Yes? Yeah. So, and like, again, I was like, okay, that's crazy. Anyway, that's probably the end of the story. And he was like, no, I need to tell you what this soup was. Because he, like, my friend was imagining, like, okay, it's just soup. Like,
oh my God,
he's cooked it the night before. You know, it's probably in some Tupperware or whatever, right? But apparently the guy just opens his cupboard, has, like, a big and chunky soup thing.
The canister.
can of soup. Like, the thing. And, oh, my God, my friend was like, yeah, it sounded
like alphabet soup.
Wet dog food, like being poured into a bowl. Because you know those big and chunky soups? They're like the kind of, like, you know, really dire times.
Yes. Who eats those?
And I was just imagining, I was like, is the cupboard just full of like those cans of soup?
I could be in an apocalypse in a bunker and they're like, all we have is soup. And I'd be like, I will
die. I had a good
one. Yeah. I'll eat my pinky, thank
that
you.
That is so cursed.
Yeah, but then the reason we talked about this is because my friend was out last night and saw the guy.
My God.
And he went to his soup friend guy. And he was like, oh my God, that guy's here. And then the friend was like, oh, soup guy.
Yeah.
But Jesus. Yeah, it was crazy. I was like, that would never happen. Like, I would
like
never let that happen.
Completely unexplainable. Like, there is no explanation you could give that would make that.
I was
like,
thinking,
that would normalize that experience.
I'd call the police if someone tried to wash my clothes overnight.
Yeah.
Even a partner, even if we've been together for a long time, it's like, why are you washing my clothes in the middle of the night?
Yeah, what's your motive? Like
and the fact that he would have just been there asleep and this guy's like, you know, he's doing the soup laundry. And he's doing the laundry.
The only thing that I could imagine it could be is that, like, maybe this other guy has like a sort of like, I want to be like your domestic, like, carer kind
That's
of vibe.
I
like,
was
I want to, kind of like take care of you and like really make a good impression.
It's giving mummy complex.
But if you're going to do that, you got to make your own goddamn soup.
And you got to dry the clothes.
Yeah. And you got to complete the task.
I was like, you know, the serial killer behavior is washing the clothes and not putting it in the dryer. So then, you know, my friend's trapped there, right? And then you bring out the soup. So I'm like, is this like the go-to? That's
the
play.
Also wet liquids. Like, I don't know. There's something weird. Like, everything's damp. Everything's soggy.
This is becoming a true crime.
Yeah, I know. Let's solve the mystery.
Any listeners
Let's
who can solve this,
down.
This mystery.
If you have slept with Soup Guy, please do
yes.
call
oh
into
my
the
God.
Pod.
Yeah. DM us.
Also, you might know him as Damp Guy.
Yeah. Or like
Mildew Man. He is out there.
Episode title, we got it.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I just will forever be thinking about that now because it's like, waking up in the morning after a hookup, you just want to go,
Jesus
right?
Christ,
and then
I'm
like,
gonna be like
reaching for your clothes and feeling that they're
wet.
Like not just damp, like wet.
Did he then like dry them that morning so that your friend could leave? Or did your friend just like, was like, I'm going to wear wet clothes and go?
Well, ended up drying it while that whole soup thing was going on.
It feels like maybe he's like trapping him there to extend the stay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then I was like, did he like text you after? Like, did he really want to
Was he obsessive?
Yeah. And it was like, no, he didn't even text me after. And I'm like, that's crazy. That's the craziest part of all.
We could spend 100 years trying to figure this out. And, and sometimes the human psyche
Life's
is just-
biggest mystery.
Yeah.
That is one of them.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Stonehenge and Mildew Man. Yeah. Nobody knows. Yeah.
That's fine. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, so I was like, I need to tell someone. Like, as my friend was telling me this, I literally afterwards, I was like, can I tell people?
Yeah. It wasn't like spawning confidence. And you're like, yeah, I won't tell anyone. Immediately goes to a podcast.
I'm like, you know, I think God I have content.
Gossip is important. We've got to band together. We've got to protect ourselves from this.
And also, if Soup Guy is out there, he needs to know that is not okay.
He needs to be stopped.
Don't wash people's clothes in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Like some sort of clean goblin. Like what's going on? Like
just even if you get the sachets, just like have some kind of nice pre-made soup. Don't fuck with cans. What are you doing?
Yeah. Gosh.
Horrendous. Kind of vaguely, this is a weird segue, just roll with it. did you guys hear about another like food related scandal that happened recently? With Armie Hammer being a cannibal.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
There is a doco coming out about his cannibalism that, like, gives, like, light to it. And apparently it's, like, a real thing.
Also, what side is the doco taking? They're like, he's actually a really nice guy. And, like, cannibalism is, like, kind of trendy.
But surely he gets some money.
Well, I don't think he's attached to it. I think it's like a...
But don't you think like when there's a doco made about someone who's like really evil or kind of misogynistic or like a horrible person, surely they would profit off just like the traffic and the clicks and all that?
Probably.
Or maybe not. Maybe not if it's cannibalism. Maybe that's the line.
Apparently he's not working at the moment. Like as in anything performance related.
Yeah,
like
isn't he working at a hotel or something?
Okay, my question is, if he is a cannibal, that means that he has to have eaten... somebody, correct? Or is that just like a non-active cannibal?
Yeah, in my knowledge of.
But so is the person dead, or is like,
well, I don't know if he's a practicing cannibal.
Oh, okay. You know? I'm like, who's out there with a chunk of their tongue missing?
Yeah.
And so it probably is important that we talk about him being cannibal to prevent him from becoming a practicing cannibal. You know
what
I mean?
That's why, you know, I don't trust people who want to suck your toes, you know? It's like, what are you going to do? Bite them off.
Does that happen to you the second you get to Melbourne?
Yeah. Everyone's people trying to suck my toes. I'm like, stop, okay?
Yeah, so.
I will watch the shit out of that documentary.
Absolutely. I will devour it. But yeah, I literally thought this was like one of those like urban legends that is not real, but apparently they've got like interviews with a lot of women that have come forward
also
being
there
like,
so
no,
many
he,
screenshots, right?
Yeah.
This is a horrible thing to tell you, but I thought that the gay triarchy was just like, why was a straight man cast and call me by your name? Mm. Let's ruin him however we can. And then they went with
he's cannibal. I wouldn't put it past us.
The thing that I always struggle with the idea of like maybe like the gay triarchy or like the gay agenda and stuff. It's like I've never met a group of queer people bigger than 5 who are that organized. You know what I mean? Like
I don't know, lesbians, they're a cult, maybe.
That's true. But I still feel like they would get distracted. I don't know.
Our spreadsheets aren't about
this. We'd start fighting.
Exactly. And there's a lot of ADHD in those circles. Come on, let's be honest. Like, I just don't know how you would organize, you know?
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see like what that brings out. And also in a weird, like timely way, Timothée Chalamet is currently starring in some movie or series, I forget, where he's playing a cannibal. Like it's about him and some girl being like a runaway, like fugitive cannibal pair.
Hollywood is all connected. Yeah. The Illuminati exists.
Yeah. Illuminati conspiracist and, not even conspiracist, just realist. Lou Wall.
That's true.
Officialized it. Yeah.
I'm sorry to say it, but
yeah. Yeah, maybe he was like studying, like Timothy knew the entire time and he was like studying the role, you know, while they were and called me by your name. And he was like, actually, I'd be perfect for this.
Yeah. I also really want to read, have you heard about Jeanette McCurdy's book?
Oh my
God. Yes. Mommy Issues Me. Have I heard about Jeanette McCurdy's book? Have I put it on my Amazon?
We cannot buy it in Australia. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Because I tried to buy a hard copy. Mm. Cannot get. You can only get the Audible.
Yeah, I think it gets released in September in Australia.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently it's on Audible.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
But I really want to
get off this podcast right now and put something else in your ears. Yeah.
But for those of you who are listening and might not know about it, so Jeanette McCurdy was on Nickelodeon growing up and she was part of iCarly.
Sam and Cat and like.
Yeah. Those kind of shows. But she has come out with this book called I'm Glad My Mum Died. Very provocative title, but it turns out that her mum like sexually abused her, financially abused her, gave her an eating disorder, was just a heinous person in general. And so the book is a lot about that, but also she kind of lets loose on the goings on as being a child star with Nickelodeon and basically names Dan Schneider as like a predator.
Yeah.
And that Nickelodeon apparently knew about this and that she wasn't the only kid that experienced this kind of stuff and that there was all this fucked shit. Like apparently there were some complaints made about Dan Schneider being predatory while filming on set.
Mm.
And so what Nickelodeon would do sometimes is they would just get him in another room and then like have him still direct the episodes, but just like via a camera, via Zoom or whatever from the next room, just to keep him like physically away from the children.
Yeah. And I'm like, if that's the extent that you're getting the director out of the room,
fire him immediately.
Like, what the hell?
It's a deeply unsettling look into like.
I know nothing about Jeanette McCurdy and I didn't watch any Nickelodeon shows, but the reason I'm interested in the book is because apparently she also spills a lot of tea on Ariana and the jealousy, which
I relate to.
As a pop culture gay, I was like, okay, I will read it. I do not care who she is. Like, give me that.
Yeah.
Apparently it's only like one page, but I'm like, I will be there.
Yeah. I watched a like TikTok, like unpacking that someone did on it. And it was just like them revealing, cause she's like very candidly said like, at the time, she was sort of like in the same kind of like caliber and category as Ariana. And I think Ariana came from a very like well-off family and had a nice family dynamic.
Yeah.
And then was given all these opportunities and was allowed to like leave set to go film other projects and music stuff, whereas she was like limited and stuck at the studio. And obviously she wasn't well off financially and she was like the provider for her family because her mom was like abusing her in this way. So of course, and you're a kid and you're a victim, you know, of course you're going to feel resentment to someone who has everything seemingly put on a platter for them. So I don't blame her at all. I don't think anyone really does,
but
there are probably some Ariana stans who are like, fuck you, Jeanette, but
I just love reading about career jealousy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I am so, it's so relatable. I think in our industry, especially like we compare ourselves, like we would compare ourselves to each other. Like everyone is constantly
putting the same tall.
Every day. I'm like, I wish my hair was as red. But I'm like, it's just so fascinating and kind of like not humbling, but it's kind of like, it's good to realize that it happens on all levels.
Yes.
And you're like, God, if I was worried about Sally from the gig last night, at least I don't have to worry about Ariana Grande. Like, I'm like, okay, bigger fish.
Yeah. Well, I think it's like so interesting that thing of as well with the Ariana Grande, because like Frankie Grande, her brother, is also like sort of kind of
quasi-celebrity.
Yeah, quasi-celebrity. And it's like, it's this thing of like their parents being rich and sort of kind of well-connected. And I think like as well, there's like so much discussion about Nepo babies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and I saw something that a friend of mine, comedian Jake Howie, check him out, posted this article headline that says, Gwyneth Paltrow tells Hailey Bieber, nepotism babies like her have to work twice as hard.
Oh, piss off.
Gwynny P.
And
yeah.
I'm just like, that is...
possibly the most out-of-touch human to ever exist.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe she means crazy. They have to work twice as hard. not because they have twice as many gigs and opportunities given to them.
Yeah. They're just and it's, flowing in.
You know, sometimes when you have like the comfort of like having your parents completely payroll your lifestyle, it's hard because like, you know, you have 100% of the time to just do what you want and that can be really crippling.
Must be hard.
Isn't it crazy to think though that like you could be on Nickelodeon, like you could be Jeanette McCurdy and be like killing it and someone with nepotism on their side still can get ahead. Like it's just like it's devastating.
Every day I wake up and I spite my parents for not girl bossing hard enough to be like famous so then I could reap the benefits, you know? Like shut up having to help your family business. Fuck you.
For
be
pointing
like a producer
my toes.
All day. So I can be successful. Thank you very much.
It has like sort of lifted the lid on what sounds like a lot of like industry, like people seemingly knew about all this stuff. And I feel like there's going to be more, heaps more coming out.
Dan Schneidergate, surely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, even before the book came out, there was always that thing about how like Dan Schneider's like obsessed with feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And made Ariana do weird shit. And
yeah. And they have like
Selena Gomez.
I saw like
as well.
A super cut like screenshot.
Yes,
of like all the feet stuff.
There's way
was,
too
like,
much
included.
Feet for kids shows.
But also, just as a like lighter slide, have you guys seen the iCarly reboot?
No.
No.
I love it.
I've seen the memes.
I stand.
As in like next gen, like full.
It's like iCarly all grown up. So they like talk about sex and dating.
Is it like and just like that where it's like, now I have a black friend? Is it that kind of vibe?
So the thing
the
is like, it's like, yes, does she now have a black best friend? Yes, she does.
Of course.
But I think the actor that they chose to play like her best friend slash roommate and the character that they made for that actress, like it does it in a really authentic way that feels genuine.
Nice.
And like to the point where I can't remember the character's name, but it's like she's like quite a fun character to watch as well, which like slots in really well. I just had the best time watching it because it's like, yeah, it's like watching iCarly, but it's like, oh my God, they're my friends and we're talking about making moves in the big city. Yeah, I just really liked it. Yeah.
I love that. I got to watch it. I got to watch the original.
Yeah, I've got a lot of catching up.
You don't even have to watch the original, to be honest. It's just like fun and silly.
Ooh, speaking of the original, apparently as well, like there's in the original iCarly, the character of, is it Kat who Jeanette played? Or Sam?
Sam.
Apparently there's like a running gag that Dan Schneider made for the character of like her binge eating all the time. Where Sam has to like binge eat on screen and would like constantly have to like stuff her face with like cupcakes or whatever was that thing. And it was just like a fun like gag seemingly every episode or, you know, in a lot of episodes. But now finding out that like she actually had like an eating disorder and
knowing that as well. It's like such a cruel thing to do to a child.
It really just makes you think that like fame and like being a child actor is a job. And why do we just consider that like, because we would not put children in other jobs. We're like, no, that's unfair. That's child labor. That's they can't consent in the way that an adult can. Why do we view acting as different?
I've been watching so many video essays on YouTube about this. Like I'm obsessed with it because like, there's all these like legal things that are in place, but people literally just like push as far as they can to like get that. Like you still have like the timing restrictions on how much a child is allowed on set. But they were like doing all these investigations and like the Dylan and Cole Sprouse thing and like, you know, different kind of child stars that ended up being more grounded or going off the rails because maybe they were like felt trapped, like Miley Cyrus with Hannah Montana. Yeah. That was a huge thing. And do you remember when like she went, like tried to do her own solo career?
They all
career?
Have to do that. Like, I'm not a Disney girl anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like they have
also,
to break free.
They have to do it. So then Disney's like, oh, we can't be associated with this sexy person anymore. You know?
It's the only way to break out of the shackles.
Exactly. And it's also like a hard thing. Like they were talking about how Miley really struggled because the character on the show was also called Miley. So it was like, you
blending.
Know, your personality and the character that you're playing starts to blend in. Because when you're so young, you don't really it's really hard. You have no sense of identity, right? You're like learning how to do that. But
you're just surrounded by adults as a young child. Like, surely that's not good for you. Like,
well, yeah, that's how a lot of them end up with, like, you know, drugs and alcohol and
like
stuff.
Like Drew Barrymore, who was like given like cocaine and like drinks. At, like,
and was like rehab at like 15 or something.
It's my toxic trait to hear all this, agree with every single point, and then be like, yeah, I'd still want to be a child.
Yeah, I know.
And like, I'm like mentally fragile as it is. Like, oh, and I had a great childhood. Could you imagine? I'd be fucking psycho.
Yeah, what role as a kid were you like frothing over? Like, what would you?
I was absolutely like any. Like, I was like,
oh yeah.
Let my middle class lifestyle, like let me be an orphan. Teach me Miss Hannigan. Let's go.
Serving like lower socioeconomic realness.
Like, I always torn like school dress. Did you ever watch that movie Big Fat Liar with Amanda Bynes?
No, but Amanda Bynes other notoriously child actor who
I love her and feel for her. I mean, I feel for all of them. And like I'm such a like Lindsay Lohan obsessive and stan. Yeah. And like a lot of these performers are so fucking talented. Like there's a reason that they are, that even as a kid you could see it like, oh God, there's something there. But it's like, at what point do we?
Well, that was like what was so refreshing about the most recent season of American Horror Stories, having Macaulay Culkin in it. And I was just like, hey, guy, what's up?
My dude? I didn't say it.
The king of child actors. It wasn't a great season, but I was just like, oh my God, Macaulay, good bless to see you. Yeah. You're doing all right, mate. Yeah. You know, I'm happy for you. Yeah, I just, have you seen, this is kind of sidebar, but like Lindsay Lohan's list of the men in that Hollywood she's that she's fucked? Oh my God.
Wait, like a legitimate,
it's a hot list.
Can we get it up right now?
Like, I'm going to get it up.
Please. Oh, like, as in she has written and published it.
I think, I don't know if it got leaked or if she put it up or something. Oh my God, like
she absolutely leaked it. Like,
like, whoops.
There's no way I believe it.
But I'm like, also like, if I was like a young guy in Hollywood and Lindsay Lohan
I'd
was
be like, yeah,
come
I'm
back
on the list.
Mine, I'd be like, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Like, it's huge.
Oh my gosh. I love the handwriting.
Highlights?
Evan Peters.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Ashton Kutcher is
Ashton Kutcher. Heath Ledger.
Oh my God. It's a handwritten list, which
oh
is like,
my God. Holy. Colin Farrell. It's very neatly done.
It's giving like.
Wow, Ryan Felipe as well. There's some like that? Kind of weird like.
Jamie Dornan. Zac Efron.
Oh my God.
I want this to be real. I love the idea that she's got this little like.
There's enough like names that are big but not that big in there.
Yeah.
Like,
get it, Lindsay.
Crazy.
I'm happy
any
for you.
Ladies on the list.
I hope so. Maybe her twin will be into women.
Oh.
No, this is a shitty parent trap.
Yeah, parent trap. Yeah, yeah. I was like, who are you getting mixed up
that's
with?
That's probably my movie that I like wanted. Oh, yeah. Like, I loved the idea that I had a twin somewhere like in like London that I was separated
with.
I
didn't want to be the actor, but I wanted to be in that scenario.
Absolutely. Yeah. But having said that, looking back on it as an adult, I was like, what a fuck dynamic for parents to be like, we're going to split these kids down the middle. It's like Caucasian chalk circle.
Yeah,
like we cannot come to a resolution.
Yeah, sorry.
Let's divide the child.
Yeah, it's so wild. Yeah, I mean, speaking of queer, you know, rumors and stuff like that, I've also been getting a lot of those queer rumors about Taylor Swift.
Oh, yes. Gaylor.
Yeah.
Jordan was telling me about that just recently. And friend of the show, Kat Finch, has been sending me a lot of juicy shit about it with Karlie Kloss.
And then like people highlight the lyrics in like certain things and then they pair it with photos and it's all very like juicy. It's
I
like,
believe it.
Yeah, I like, I don't really.
I want to believe it.
I truly don't believe that you could be a celebrity of that grandness, like a celebrity that big and not have once just fingered a girl. I'm like, surely they
in your little private jet.
Your little just out of curiosity.
Oh, that's another thing.
Out of curiosity, surely.
Yeah. I keep getting these like Webjet ads on my YouTube.
Clip with a K.
I keep getting these Webjet ads on my YouTube being like, carbon offset your fucking plane trip or whatever. And I'm like, bitch, I'm not the problem. Taylor Swift is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to carbon offset this.
I'm not
like
a scientist.
$20.
What is carbon offsetting? How does that work?
I don't even know, but it's supposed to be like some eco-friendly thing where it's like basically you spend X amount of money, and like maybe some places will be like, we'll put it towards rainforest conservation.
In my mind, a farmer literally plants a tree every time I click that bar. Yeah. And I have thought no further and refused.
Just this
to.
One man in a yeah. field
with a packet of seeds,
he
and
just
he's
has
like
a beeper that like says like, yeah. you know, another one. Okay. Yeah.
Another seed goes in.
And he has to wait. Like,
yeah.
No, no
he's
one's
just
done
sitting
it yet.
In this field, yeah. Yeah,
bad day for carbon offset.
Yeah, some like Qantas like monitor, like
yeah,
no.
Yeah, it's so crazy because yeah, the private jet stuff. I was like, fuck this, I'm not gonna recycle anymore. Yeah. I don't
it's
need
so
to.
So funny. All the memes about it have just been tickling me so much.
Absolutely.
Like her, like it's like Taylor going to pick up a takeaway, and it's like a plane like crashing into a mall.
yeah.
So good. Do you guys want to do our pop or flop for the week?
Yes.
I might kick things off.
Please.
I have a pop this week. Mm-hmm. So I've recently been, because everyone's in Edinburgh at the moment, it feels yeah, like.
Everyone.
And
we are holding down the fort.
Yeah, what the fuck are we doing?
Not
yeah.
the people who matter, you know. We're actually here.
Are you guys going to go next year, you reckon?
Absolutely.
I'm going to be there. 100%. We should house together or something.
Oh my God. I really want to go to just like check out, suss out the vibe.
That's
but
what
I
wanted to do this year. I saw how expensive
no money.
It's ridiculous. So
I was like, oh, I thought this would be like, you know, maybe naively like a 3 or 4 grand holiday. But no. I was like, nah.
No.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like
there's a thing at the moment 13. Where they're trying to get the Scottish like government to actually like buy out for the month, like every like hotel, Airbnb sort of thing to try and keep the prices reasonable.
I was looking at like 12 bunk hostels and I was looking like maybe like 3 weeks out. Like it was a very spontaneous.
It's like a dungeon.
Literally, this was a dungeon with like, this was Orphan Annie vibes. It was hot. Like, and they were like, I kid you not, like Australian, like 120 a night.
Jesus.
But yeah, a lot of people have been saying you can sort of make a bit of money if you do the flyering and teching for shows.
Yeah.
So
that might be a.
And I'm also just a glutton for like the artistic experience, you know, like even if it was like.
I thought you were gonna say punishment.
Yeah, if it was
I want to be
like
trampled. I want to drink like five vodkas.
I want it
before
so bad.
My show, 20 after. I just.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'm holding you to it next year.
Yeah, Edinburgh. I will be there performing to 3 people.
Yes.
Having
Hell
the
yes.
best and worst time of my life.
It's going to be so good. But because of Edinburgh, I've been seeing, like, did you see recently that Cassie Workman got a really cool write-up newspaper.
About Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
And Phoebe Waller-Bridge, like, shouted her out. And
that's
was like,
so cool.
This is the act that I'm, like, putting my
and
focus behind.
It's a new show from Cassie?
It's a,
Yeah, it's a poem. So it's called Aberdeen. It's amazing.
Wait, have you seen it?
I saw it, like she did like
is this
three
you
little
live in
shows.
Sydney? Fuck yeah. I really gotta move.
It was amazing. It was so moving. It's kind of like an epic poem about her trying to sort of travel through time and save Kurt Cobain from committing suicide. But
amazing.
It's basically also this huge like allegory or whatever for her own like issues with depression and suicide and everything. And
for those listening who might not know Cassie Workman, she's an incredible comic from Sydney who does also very like theatrical kind of like cerebral like
she's a beautiful
comedy
writer.
Shows.
Yeah.
She's not writing plays. Tinder jokes. Like she's writing
it's quite high end.
Theater.
Oh my God.
And
yeah.
so to get praise, because she's currently in Edinburgh doing this show, and Phoebe Waller-Bridge gave her a huge shout out, and there was a write up about Cassie's show in some
the
big
Guardian?
Newspaper there. Yeah, something like that. And I see huge things happening.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly think she's going to win an award for it because, like, when I saw it and I said at the end, I was like, I just can't wait for you to absolutely destroy at Edinburgh because, like, that would be the perfect audience for it because it is like. I mean, I say this in the most complimentary sense of like it is that kind of like Kurt Vonnegut-esque, like looking through time, sort of reaching out, and it's this beautiful story about choosing.
Are you
to
saying we're too basic here to understand?
Oh yes. Right. Sorry, I went to film school. masters of screenwriting. Thank you. Hire me. But. Yeah.
Lou and I with our music theater, like a little bit.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys can talk about musicals. I'm going to talk about, you know.
I've watched Dear Evan Hansen bootleg. Let me tell you what I got to say.
Yeah, well, in Shrek.
Yeah, I saw the Ben Platt one, you know.
Ugh.
So bad.
We don't have time. Moving on.
But anyway.
Oh, she's going to win so many awards. It was, and so deserving. Yeah, amazing. She's a fantastic artist and a beautiful person.
Oh, yes.
She is.
I'm
so happy for her.
When someone who's a great artist is not a cunt, I'm like, how do you do it?
Yeah.
And I feel like.
Like, pick one.
Yeah.
Oddly, like, patriotic about it. Like, I don't know why something about, like, because I saw that Tina Del Twist, another Australian cabaret kind of performer who's over at the moment in Edinburgh as well, also getting some cool write-ups. And I just feel this like swell of like, oh my God, these are our peeps.
And like, how cool is it to be like, we're like people who we have performed alongside are like making some of the best work on the fringe circuit in the world.
Yeah.
Like, that is a global stage if there ever is one. And it's just.
I am biased, but I do really feel like Australian comedy and like playwriting is something special. And
yeah, definitely. Mm. And I think the ones that really cut through are always amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, this is just a little sidebar, but sometimes I watch these like stand-up clips from like New York comics who are like, have got those huge followings and stuff. And I'm like, this is the worst set I have ever seen in my life.
100%. It's just a reminder of how little opportunities there are for Australians to kind of like meet that next echelon, you know, like we have such a tiny film industry. We have such a tiny, even like our, you know, we obviously have like Melbourne Comedy Festival, which is huge on an international scale, but like it kind of is a little bit depressing that we have to go overseas to get that kind of attention or accolades or, you know, Auntie Donna having to go to LA to get a Netflix deal to then get taken seriously by ABC.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That or kind Sam of stuff. Campbell as well. He did his Comedy Blaps thing. Yeah. Everyone check that out on YouTube. But like, yeah, I guess, you know, in a way, Australians are the Nepo babies of the world. We have to work twice as hard. You know?
Yeah, you heard it here. We have definitely detoured a little bit. But because of Edinburgh, and this shout out from Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I have gone back and rewatched Fleabag this week, season 1 and 2. And I also have downloaded the actual stage play. There's like a version of her doing it at the National Theatre. And I'm going to watch that tonight. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I saw a recording of it a few years ago of like from
the stage.
It's so good.
I can't wait to see it. But she's such an incredible writer and a very like inspirational comedian for me. So that's my pop for the week. Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Cassie Workman and Edinburgh in general.
My pop, and I'm going to sound like such a simp.
Do it.
But is Aurelia's wedding pics.
Oh, yes.
Like, I know it's supposed to be pop culture, but that is
culture.
That is absolutely culture. So she went to the States. She got hitched in Vegas. And it's just, she's like eating. They're just so hot.
Yeah.
Eating In-N-Out. I've never like seen an Instagram post pop up where I've like sent it to so many of my friends. Yes. Just being like, this is the gay future.
It's like it has budget. It has like production values. It's like nice cinematography. And yet it's also that like camp kind of like, you know, indulgent, like tacky, like Vegas, like, you know, we're here with like an Elvis impersonator.
Never have I seen someone like
respect,
hold up and punch in the face the institution of marriage more perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
It's amazing. And also the lesbianness of it. Oh, that it's like
so gay.
A couple like months in heart. Being like, let's do it. Let's have a fucking Vegas elopement.
What in the U-Haul?
Yeah,
exactly. I'm so obsessed. My pop is a similar thing. Do you guys know Lee Pace?
Oh, do I know Lee Pace?
Oh my God.
Oh, I do know.
One of the hottest like actors around. He did this amazing shoot with GQ where he's just like looking gorgeous.
Love.
And also he confirmed that he has married his partner for the last like, I don't know how
this
long
is
since
a flop.
2017.
That's a flop for me.
No. Husband.
He's gay.
He is a bi icon. He says, I'm serious. And this has literally made my heart sing. I read this article and there's this quote where he's like, I don't know why people are so obsessed with my sexuality. I've dated women before and now I'm marrying my husband and
I have
stuff
chills.
Like that.
I have chills. I've always like tried to like put a cap on my lust for that man because I'm like, well, it can't go anywhere.
No, it can happen. Well, it can't. He's married.
No,
he's
but this is why it's a flop because he's married unless it's an open marriage.
Yeah.
Well, you just said Aurelia got married, so.
It's a pop and it's a flop true. And it bounces out as like a nop. You know, like it's
hot, as a bi queen,
hot queers I'm getting like, married.
I am so glad that we have that kind of bi representation. You know what I mean? Mm. Like we really
straight passing hot men who are bi.
But it's like you see, if you see some of his photo shoots, you're like,
gay.
Yeah.
That man
He's
is
so tall.
I'll show you the hot. Photo shoot, but it is. My jaw dropped.
Yay for marriage. This is a marriage podcast now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We stan the covenant of marriage.
I was going to talk about like something else, but then I remembered and I was just like, oh my God. Happily married to his husband now, which I love.
Daddy.
Is the husband hot?
I don't know. I've just been looking at pictures of him, so.
Who cares, really?
Like, look at the... Anyway, you guys got to go on his Instagram.
That's both made and ruined my day, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a beautiful episode, my friends. Thank you so much for joining us on Pop Gaze.
So thank you so much for having us.
May Jordan and Aurelia never come back.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm moving to Melbourne for the podcast.
We love it.
Yes. Well, when... You guys can just do a house swap. When you move to Sydney and you move to Melbourne. And we'll see you guys, our listeners, next week. Thanks for
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Listening. Bye, friends.
Love you.
Bye.
Has a queer person ever ended a podcast without saying bye?
Bye. I don't think it's possible.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGazePod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.